Extry, tell all about it. It's Dave's Big Dictionary. Yeah, so as you saw me do about an hour ago, I picked up this Merriam-Webster Pocket Dictionary for a segment that we've just started doing the past couple of weeks. And what I do is I go through and randomly, truly randomly, just flip through the book, put my finger down on a word, and try and think of something to talk about regarding that word. It could be autobiographical, could just be stuff off the top of my head. So it'll be a mix of both in this one. The word my finger pointed to was ultra. Ultra, an adjective meaning going beyond extreme, going beyond others, or beyond due limits. The word ultra. So what are we going to talk about? A couple of different things flashed through my mind coming to that word. One of which is, well, every once in a while my wife will shop at a makeup and beauty products place locally that's called Ulta, Ulta Salon, so that's close to Ultra, and not much to say about that except I can't stand places like that because I don't like makeup and I don't like perfume and bleh. She doesn't wear perfume, but makeup she needs, and so I'll bring her there. But I won't go in, because I don't like the smell, I don't like, don't want to be there. But the Ulta building is right next to a patch of land, a couple of patches of land, because it's part of a strip mall that we have here that's got a Safeway, and it's got, the Kohl's and the TJ Maxx and the Target, and so they're all in the same area. But behind that area, there's a plots of land that they haven't built on yet. It's just open field. But it isn't grass field. It's basically dirt field. And in it are hundreds, if not thousands, of prairie dogs. Speaking of marmots and all things groundhogs. And, something about prairie dogs, watching them, looking at their little tails go, dee, 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 or when they chirp at each other, which is basically warning them that, hey, there's that idiot Dave coming to look at us again. And I don't know, I mean, I grew up, as I said earlier in the show, in Brooklyn, Long Island, New York, tons of squirrels everywhere. Always you can see squirrels. And I'm like, big deal, squirrels. But little cute marmots running around, poking out of their holes, zipping from hole to hole, and going beep, 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 beep. Something just makes my day when I see that. So as much as I'm like, you have to go to Ulta again, you look like fine, go there 15, 20 minutes. While you're in there, I'm going to go look at we call them marmots, but they're actually prairie dogs. I'm going to go look at my marmot friends and just have a moment of natural beauty, because I'm not a hiker. And I have never skied. I don't water ski. I don't parasail. If I went sailing, I would hurt myself to the point I was a paraplegic, and then I'd really be parasailing. But no, what I can do is walk a few feet onto grass and dirt and look around for little marmots and see how close I can get to them before they go beep, and zip down into their little holes and avoid the crazy man. So that's one. That's one thing that the word ultra pops into my mind from Ulta. What else? There's of course Russ Meyer's Ultra Vixens movie series. The less said about that, the better. But those are kind of fun to watch when you're in your early teens. I'm not gonna go there. What else? What else about Ultra? I was gonna say. Oh yes, I was gonna tell briefly. One of the stories about our coming here to Greeley, Colorado, to UNC, where, by the way, it's 12:04 in the afternoon, Mountain Time, and you're listening to the Dave's Gone By radio program of The Face with me, Dave Lefkowitz, here on this Saturday, February 3rd, 2018. We've called it our Mary Poopins episode in honor of Aaron Feldman, the film director of Poop Talk, who was on the show earlier, but in terms of ultra and what brought us to Colorado in the first place, well, my wife had gotten her degree, her doctorate in gerontology, And she was teaching at Temple University in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. Meanwhile, I was still living in New York in a house that we had bought on Long Island. And I was, you know, looking for work, not getting any headway, not making much money at all doing anything. And she was basically supporting that house, plus having to room with someone while she was teaching at Temple, because it was the first job that she got. And she was there for about 2 years, two semesters, and then realized, look, something's going to give. The job's going to give, or the marriage is going to give, because I'm living apart most of the time from my husband. And it was tough for both of us, because she'd come on a bus and come back to New York most of the time, and like once a month, I'd come out to Philadelphia, which meant that I wasn't seeing theater on the weekends, and I was kind of lazy about schlepping from Long Island all the way to Philadelphia as often as I should have. So things were strained, and things were terribly financially strained as well. So she was looking very seriously for a full-time job teaching with tenure prospects in her field. Okay, and as much as she loved Philadelphia, and as much as she loved like Temple University, there wasn't something long-term tenure track in her plan for her there, or so at least it seemed at the time. So the job hunt, the big job hunt began, and this is going back 9 or 10 years. So we looked at a couple of places, and I've told the story many times on here of how one of the places she looked at was UNC in Greeley. And one of the things that sold her was Colorado, was coming off the airplane in Denver and suddenly seeing sky, it's big sky country, and mountains, and realizing, whoa, this is a very different feeling from the Bronx, where she's studying at Fordham, and from Manhattan, and from suburban sprawl Long Island. This is, you can breathe here. There's something here. And I couldn't make that trip. I was on a fellowship in California at the time, and I remember getting the phone call from her and saying, Dave, you know, if they want me, I think I'm going to do this place, because it's just, you know, I felt different coming off the plane. And ultimately, things worked out where this is the place we chose for reasons that included lifestyle, that included looking around and seeing tons of sky, and also being able to afford to live. It's gotten a bit more expensive over the past few years, but still, compared to Long Island and in terms of taxes, it's not even comparable. So fine. But we looked at a couple of other places when she was thinking of where to move. And what school to go to. And there was one in Connecticut, and there was one in Ohio. But there was also a school, the most serious one that she was considering at the time, was in North Dakota. And I'd never been to North Dakota, and we both were able to go. So it was in Fargo. And so there's this romanticism because of the movie, even though it's a grisly, dark, dark comedy movie by the Coen brothers. It's still like, whoa, Fargo, North Dakota. How cool, how pioneering to go there. So we went there. We went there to visit. And I probably told this story on the air a few years ago also. But nice people, friendly people, liked looking around. We really got a sense of the town. You know, if you think Greeley is small, and you haven't seen Fargo, because Fargo basically has one main strip of Main Street, and everything else is just houses and suburban sprawl, but, you know, it's okay. We went in late January, and it was cold, not quite bitter cold, but wet, raw sort of humid cold. And when we were being taken around the city and shown places and how what there was to do in Fargo, and the guy who was taking us around said, oh, you know, it's like an early spring here. And literally, it was about 33 degrees, snaining. It was like a mix of rain, snow, and ice coming down with piles of snow along the curb. And this guy was saying, oh, wow, you know, we're having a pretty light winter. And Joyce and I looked at each other, and we were like, uh-huh, uh-huh, okay, fine. And part of me almost wanted that challenge. Part of me almost had that, you know, let's Why not? Why not go to a place that's miserable 8 months out of the year and tolerate it and see if we're made of stronger stuff? And, you know, a little shoveling. I would say a little shoveling never hurt me, but I've hurt my back a couple of times trying to shovel snow back when we were on Long Island. So, but still, there was a temptation, this idea of, well, it's somewhere different and somewhere new and interesting and become part of this community, etc. But what one of the things that turned us away from this school in Fargo was that they said, and this was without joking, that because the winters are so grim and so long and so cold and so dark, and it's not like Colorado where, I mean, you know, today it's 50 degrees, there's a ton of sunshine outside. Tomorrow when it's 30 degrees, it'll be colder, but there'll still be sunshine. We get sunshine 250 days a year here in Colorado. So, I mean, that makes an enormous difference. It really does on your psyche, on your day-to-day persona, on your perspective on life, usually, to some extent. In Fargo, they told us that pretty much everybody who teaches at this school and everybody who lives in Fargo has two things that they have to deal with. First of all, when there's snow and rain, they have to sandbag the streets because of flooding. Because a lot of it's in a floodplain, and if you don't put out big old sandbags, you're likely to get your basement completely flooded. Okay, fine. I guess if we buy a house, we'll do it on a higher plane. Cool, great, fine. The other thing was that everybody there, in their offices and in their homes, had special lamps, almost like living in a fish tank, where this lamp had ultraviolet light bulbs. There were special lamps that people in that climate, in that region, and I guess they have them in Sweden and Norway and places like that, because there's so little sun for so many weeks, real sun, that you're not getting the nutrients, the warm feeling, the humaneness, the nature of sunshine that people actually crave and need, just to not be in a bad mood, not to be depressed, not to have vitamin deficiencies. So people would have special lamps on their desks in northern Colorado all day. Keep those lamps on at home as well, with ultraviolet bulbs, so that they could lead a normal existence and not fall into deep depressions between October and March. And we heard that, and it wasn't a joke, and it was one of, there were other reasons, but it was one reason when we looked at North Dakota and we looked at Colorado and we're like, well, Colorado gets a lot of snow, but Colorado, yeah, all because, or partially, certainly because of ultraviolet light. And that is my ultra story for Dave's Gone By for this Saturday, February 3rd, 2018.